everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Need to Nerd. I am your host, Spencer, and I am joined by my co-host, West.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well, man. I'm really excited. Today, we are back to talk about Emmy Award-winning Book 2 of Avatar The Last Airbender. Did you know the show won an Emmy for this season?
It was a real page-turner.
It was a real page-turner. That was a book joke, in case those at home didn't get that. Dude, we talked about Season 1, Book 1, a couple weeks ago. Since then, I've finished season book two with my wife. We didn't let Maxwell go on this adventure with us as much.
He's not ready for book two.
Yeah, I think it gets darker pretty quick and scarier in this one.
Yeah, I think you really don't get that many episodes before it gets dark and scary.
It gets pretty quick. So before we get too far into this, I think that, we want to give our first thoughts on this book, this season of Avatar. But West, without spoiling it, why do you think that people should watch season two of Avatar The Last Airbender?
Well, first, you've made it this far. Second, things get real. The most compelling villain of the whole story shows up. The most compelling sidekicks of a villain of the whole story show up. You really get into the love and the relationships that each of these characters are building up between each other. I think it's the story that it's the one that has the most growth. The story goes from just starting out establishing who you are to really finding out who you are.
Yeah, I'm going to read the quote-unquote official summary from fandom. It says, Avatar Aang continues his quest to master all four elements before the end of the summer. Together with Katara, Sokka, Momo, and Appa, he journeys across the Earth Kingdom in search for an earthbending mentor. Along the way, he confronts Princess Azula, sister of Prince Zuko, and daughter of Fire Lord Ozai. More powerful than her brother, Azula will stop at nothing to defeat the Avatar. But Aang and his gang find plenty of companions in the Earth Kingdom along the way. From the swamps in the south to the Earth King's palace, Book 2 is an adventure like no other.
It really is not an adventure like any other.
Yeah, this season is my favorite season. I mean, Wes, you did a great job of just talking about how compelling the characters are. I'll go into my initial reactions first. I remember the first time watching the season really vividly. You know, I got in front of the TV every chance I got just to see that next episode. And when they had the season one mid-episode break, it was rough because, you know, big things had just happened. And you had to wait weeks and weeks before you could come back. And I remember that really vividly. I remember, you know, loving this show. I remember, you know, the little baby saber tooth. I don't remember what it was called.
Saber tooth moose lion.
Yeah, that's the one. This season was just full of really amazing stuff. I enjoyed it almost every minute of it from start to finish. Like it is my
the only parts I can't say I was enjoying. I can say I was feeling.
Sure. What about you? What were your very initial, you know, reaction to watching this season?
Toph is awesome. That's an easy one. She just kicks butt from start to finish. At no point is she ever anything less than the most powerful fighter on the team, I think. She's got limitations, but they're very real, and she overcomes them usually very well. And sad. That's the other thing that this season brings. There are moments in this season where you really feel for the characters and where they're at.
Yeah, I think that it'll be really hard to do this episode without going pretty deep into spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, pause the episode, go watch it, come back, join us. It's definitely worth the watch. And you won't regret taking the time to watch those 20 episodes. We're going to get into spoiler territory now. So that was your warning. West, you know, you talk about real moments. I mean, the Avatar dies. Straight up just dies. Aang dies.
That's true. I wasn't even going to go to that moment.
Like, this season gets real intense really quick, and, you know, it ends on the biggest cliffhanger of the series. It goes through so much, you know. And you talk about character growth, right? Like, if you look at Zuko, his story, I mean, we talked about him a lot in the first season, but this season you really come to root for Zuko in a lot of ways. Like,
and then he takes it right at the end, and then he throws it on the ground and steps on all your love for him.
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, you talked about the companions of Azula. I mean, this season is just full of really endearing characters, whether they're good or bad.
Definitely. No, you're here for the struggle of every character the whole time.
Yeah.
I think that another compelling thing about this season is it's got lots of times where your expectations are subverted, where it doesn't go the way you think it's gonna.
Right.
And I think none is more real than the letdown that is Ba Sing Se to our heroes.
So there's so much to go over in this episode. So let's talk about favorite storylines first. Let's go. What was the storyline that you found the most compelling, or the character arc, or the, like, what in season two did you just go, dang, that was it. That was the one.
Iroh the Mentor.
Yeah, I mean, the tea shop specifically. No, I'm just kidding. The tea shop is great, though.
No, but, like, this is Iroh's season, right?
Yeah.
Iroh is he's a fun character that's following along with Zuko for all of book one. In book two, Iroh is Zuko's guide. But
right.
He's not just Zuko's guide. He has really compelling conversations with Toph. He really has, even just in his short moments where he's working with Katara and Sokka and Aang, he teaches them something. He gets to have his own growth and experience, right?
Yeah.
Iroh gets to live the proof of being someone whose life is not over, despite fundamental shifts from where he began.
It's funny, Debonair, I don't remember what episode we were on when I asked this question. It was before the end of the season, but I just asked her, I said, who is your favorite character in the show so far? And she's, oh, well, definitely Uncle Iroh.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's Debonair is usually drawn to, you know, really powerful women as, like, her favorite characters. And this mm-hmm. show is chock full of them. So for her to pick Uncle Iroh, you know, I think it really speaks a lot to how great he is of a character.
Yeah, I think that another reason why picking Iroh isn't that surprising, if that's the type of character that usually excites you, is that I think Iroh is an incredible model of what strength and resolve look like in a very untoxic masculine way.
Yeah. I'll go next. I think my favorite storyline is probably Zuko trying to come to terms with where he is at in life. The episode where he meets that young child and he's trying to do the right thing, and at the end, him doing all those good things didn't even matter. You mean you see this person trying to change, and then, you know, you can see it in his eyes, you know, this question of, does it even matter if I change? Is anybody gonna accept me being this? Yeah, being this other person? I thought that was a compelling piece that puts context into, you know, a couple episodes later, he's in a tea shop working, and he's like, why are we doing this? Like, what? Like, we are royalty sitting here in this tea shop. And he really struggles with, when I try to do the right thing, things go badly. And then, so, like, what's even the purpose? What is the reason? And I really like that about him. The other thing that I will say, my wife is a huge Katara Zuko shipper. the amount of shipping that she did during the season was all of it.
Yeah, well, I think that they build that up. Basically, from after episode 2, when they basically shut down Katara Aang for a season after the Cave of Two Lovers.
Yeah.
When they're in the secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel! Secret tunnel through the mountain.
Yep. Spencer made sure that we both re-listened to that song before starting. Because if it isn't an anthem, I don't know what is.
That song is a bop, man. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. But from, like, the episode 2 of the book onwards, right? Like, I think that they spend much more time kind of building up that, you know, Katara is who's... I think Katara's... many of these characters are a lot like the elements that they kind of represent.
Yeah.
Right? In a sense, Sokka is the perfect human, right? Like,
sure.
He's flawed and he tries really hard and he's ingenious and overcomes things, right?
Which, oh man, Sokka's
not having...
Sokka's story gets so much better in season 3. I'm so much so excited.
Oh, no, Sokka definitely is a season 3 man, for sure. He's kind of... probably never been more of the comedic sidekick than he is in this season.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Cactus Juice was a great moment. But anyway, Katara.
Yeah. But so Katara is like water, right? She is slow to warm, but once she is warm, it holds for a while.
Right. Oh, go ahead.
And I think that that moment where... like, she spends so much time starting to see Zuko for the struggles he's been through and where he's trying to go. And at the very end, you can't think about any bit of the season without considering the ramifications of the final episode of the season, because basically everything that got built up is in some way knocked down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You have Katara offering to heal Zuko's scar and working...
But thank goodness she didn't, right?
Yeah. Like, then you have, you know, Avatar or Aang having to give up Katara in order to, you know, be able to reach the Avatar state at will. Mm-hmm. In those last couple episodes, it was really funny because I'm watching the season with Devonair. And, the only episode I don't like from this season, I think, is a fan favorite. I think most fans actually really like it, and that's Stories of Ba Sing Se.
You don't like
Stories of Ba Sing Se. I don't like filler. I don't like filler.
It's not filler.
It's such filler.
The story of Momo, not filler.
Oh my gosh. How is that not
story
filler?
Story of Zuko, important character development. Story of Katara and Toph, absolutely
you
filler.
Don't have to make filler to do character development.
Either way.
Anyway, outside of that episode, I think the other problem is you go from the wall episode, by the way, which is the, you didn't watch it on TV, so you actually didn't go through this for what it's worth.
No.
So the wall episode was the mid-season finale. So then we had to wait months before actually seeing what happens after that. So then the next episode, they get into Ba Sing Se, right?
And was this a fall to winter arc?
Yes.
I see.
So they get into Ba Sing Se, and, you know, stuff is real weird, right? And then the next episode is the stories of Ba Sing Se, and you're like, I literally just waited 2 months for this story, and now you're giving me this? So there could be some bitterness there, but that is the only thing. I get it. Uncle Iroh makes you cry, you know.
So I had an excellent tweet when I was in the middle of the rewatch, which is... that Tales of Ba Sing Se puts a crack in you so that Appa's last days can break you.
Fair enough.
And it's so true.
That's the other thing. That episode then is a time travel episode during a different time. You wait 2 months and you don't even get to be in Ba Sing Se. Sorry.
Too much. That's okay, because Ba Sing Se kind of sucks, but they really do tell a lot of story in 7 episodes.
No, they do. I mean, I think the wall is 13, right? Episode 13. The drill, sorry. No, I've been calling it the wall. It's called the drill.
The next episode is City Walls and Secrets.
Yeah, so and then it's Tales, really then it's Appa's Lost Days. I mean, I think that these last few episodes, you know, the lake episode, the Earth King, the Guru... and then the Crossroads of Destiny, Holy, what an emotional.
Yeah. Whew, yeah.
I mean, Debonair didn't want to stop. Like, I think we actually watched the last three episodes just boom, just like a movie. That's how into the show you get at this
also,
point in time.
Spencer, I don't actually. It wasn't. I have to say that the gap in the air date was not at.
Is it
the drill? It was between the desert and the Serpent's Pass.
Oh.
So it's on the cliffhanger of Appa.
It's on the cliffhanger of Appa getting taken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either way, I remember being angry that I had just sat through. I think the other thing is what they did between those is they re-aired all the episodes, for what it's worth, mm-hmm. as well. So, I also just remember the drill episode very vividly for watching it, which is probably why I put that there. But
the drill episode is a really interesting case of every piece of the puzzle being used in order to make something happen, and then it's still not being nearly enough.
Yeah, they used the whole flying bison for that one.
Yeah, except they don't have the flying bison.
Just stomp on my joke. It's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
What about you? Is there anything that you would change from the season? Obviously, I don't like filler, but what would you change? It's a good season, man.
Yeah, like, if we thought that season one was, like, good and did everything it needed to do, this book actually accomplishes everything it sets out to do.
Yeah. It doesn't stand alone as well as season one because it ends on that, you know, a cliff.
Yeah, it can't stand alone because it's bridge.
A sequel, sure. Yeah, the bridge, that's a good point.
Right, like, basically, you know, this season probably doesn't help you, like, you know, build so much, but doesn't, it might not hold any of the load, but it's what makes the whole thing much more beautiful.
Okay. So you would change nothing, is what you're saying.
I don't think so. It's one of those things where, like, it's perfectly balanced, and maybe there's something that could have been changed.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd have to dig deep.
It was really funny when they got to Bossing Say, the, what is her name?
Judy
shows up, and I was like, that's Dolores Umbridge. My wife looks at me, what? I was like, you'll see.
Yeah. How long did it take her to realize that that's absolutely Dolores Umbridge?
Not very long. She was like, oh, that is Dolores Umbridge. And then, what is his name? Lo Fang?
Yeah.
Is that right? Lao Fang? Is that what it is? Anyway, he walks in and was like, that's Voldemort.
Long Fang.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. But probably not pronounced exactly like Long. Yeah. Oh, man.
I think that one of the more compelling points of the story that we didn't get to talk about, by the way, is Azula taking over the Dai Li.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting thing to pick apart.
Like, she just was playing a whole different game than Long Fang was.
Yeah, I think that that's, probably the... I mean, Azula speaks to this herself, right? The difference between where Long Fang and her are. How big of a gap there is, but it certainly, Azula doesn't ever follow the rules of the game.
Right.
She makes her own rules, her own goals, her own, right? There's no action of hers is on its face what it is. Right. Unless it's murderous intent, in which case, yes, that's pretty much right as it goes.
What was your favorite episode or favorite line or favorite moment? You can get more than one. You don't have to pick one.
Babies.
You don't have to pick one. You can say all of them.
I think The Chase is a really cool episode.
Sure.
This is the one where Appa is shedding, and everyone kind of starts as a, like, they're kind of arguing to begin the episode.
Does that end in the town? I know that it...
Yes, this is the standoff in the ghost town.
Yeah. That moment's a really amazing moment in the show. That
definitely.
Also, for those who don't know, if you watch this episode and have, if you're listening and haven't watched season two, well, watch it. But if you want to watch it again, during the part where they're all shooting at Azula, Zuko actually throws his boomerang with them. They're all using their bending powers against Azula, and Zuko throws his boomerang, and it is perfect.
Yeah, Zuko's great. Or, not, I mean, Sokka.
Sokka. Did I say Zuko?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. Sokka throws his boomerang, is what I mean.
This episode has so many important pieces, right? It has, like, the core Toph versus Katara argument, which continues forever because they're very different characters. It has Toph's conversation with Iroh, which I think is really incredible of a conversation.
It is.
One that shapes Toph's understanding of her friends for a long time and ultimately helps connect everybody. And I think it's a really important piece of how, like, even though people are across different battle lines in some sort of conflict, if they meet without those conventions, right, without knowing who is the other, they're really likely to just get along, and that it was the predetermined that they're supposed to be fighting that causes any conflict in the first place.
Yeah. My favorite episode has to be Zuko alone.
Heartbreaker.
It is, you know, I already talked about it earlier in the show, but I mean, it is one where, you know, sometimes you can see Zuko doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. And that, to me, captures the, you know, humanity in a lot of ways. And I really appreciate that episode. Do you have a favorite line?
Oh, I don't have a favorite line in this one quite like no.
Secret Tunnel!
Time is season three. Secret Tunnel is a great one. In fact, that whole episode is just full of some excellent, excellent lines.
I think that my favorite line this season is when they're putting up the signs, and Toph is like, "What? You don't think that I can put up a sign?" She grabs it, puts the glue on, and puts it there. And then she's like, "It's upside down, and isn't it? I'll just go with you." And it's not upside down; it's backwards.
Oh, that's a really good one. No, I got it. When they're talking about the king's bear.
Oh, and they're like,
"Do you mean like a platypus
bear?
Do you mean a..."
This place is weird.
Like, talking through all of the iterations of combo animals that exist in the world that include bears, because the idea of an animal just being an animal is absolutely preposterous.
Is it this season or season three where... Oh, it is this season. It's when Sokka, like, drew up an Appa picture for their posters, and they're all making fun of it, and Toph's like, "I think it looks just like him." And then Sokka's response is, "Why do you feel the need to do that?"
Yeah, that's really great. That actually, like, really gets into the, like, different tools of humor, right? Like, and that humor really is just breaking some type of social convention.
Right.
Because the, like, super not cool to joke about blindness, but when Toph does it, it takes on a little bit more meaning to it. And when she uses it as a weapon,
right,
against her friends and their lack of consideration sometimes, I think is really valuable.
Yeah. I am surprised. I thought that your favorite moment would be the part where Uncle Iroh says, "I'm not going to shoot you with lightning." That one is the one. That was the one I expected to be your favorite.
Oh, another one is when they're talking about when Iroh joins up with Team Avatar to go rescue Zuko, and they're talking about fighting Azula, I think. He's like, "Protect her? No, she's crazy. She has to go down."
She's crazy. Yeah, it's a good moment. Iroh does a lot in this season specific to... I mean, he accomplishes his dreams. He also just seems genuinely happy. And I mean, I think that the thing is like, you know, you watch that moment in the episode that I mentioned where he goes and sings that song to the grave of his son. And, you know, this season does a really good job of taking who were the quote-unquote villains of season one. I mean, obviously, General is what's his name? General.
Yeah, yeah, the one of the.
Anyway, he was like the season one villain, whereas Azula's in season Admiral Zhao. There we go. But they really take these two characters that you're not really sure how you feel about because they're endearing, and then all of a sudden now you like love them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You can't love. I don't think you can really come to love Zuko without this season.
Yeah, or I mean, Iroh's obviously funny in season one, but you know he's. The last episode does a lot to make you not view Iroh as a bad guy from book one, but in this one it's just abundantly clear that, you know, it's abundantly clear that Iroh is a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you could probably like speculate a lot on Iroh's intentions in book one, but I have a feeling there's a reason he never goes that far out of his way to capture the Avatar.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if he truly thought that was what was best for Zuko, was to capture the Avatar, he would have done it no problem, right? Because Iroh can accomplish anything he puts his mind to.
Right.
He opened a tea house deep in enemy territory.
Yeah, dude is the best tea house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I do think that Iroh teaches a really important lesson over the course of this season, which is that happiness isn't something that you acquire, it's something that you grow.
Sure. Who's your favorite character from this season?
Like, specifically from this season?
Yeah.
The hippo.
Okay. The hippo?
No, I'm kidding. He's one of the different...
I remember the hippo. Sure, one of the fighters.
Yeah. No, but all of those guys are awesome. All of the Earth Nation wrestlers are really funny characters. The boulder is very memorable.
The boulder is based on the rock!
But Toph. Toph is just so cool. She is... Toph's an interesting one because she has to catch up to everyone else in terms of character growth because she hasn't spent as much time on the road.
Sure.
But in a sense, she comes with a lot more wisdom built in because she hasn't been part of this war her whole life as well.
Yeah. Mine's Ty Lee.
Oh, yeah, but...
Ty Lee is funny. She's charming. You don't really know what you're getting with her. I'm a fan. She's also adorable. What more do you want in the world?
I think I literally said in one of my Discord channels that I'm a simp for Ty Lee, like, yesterday.
Ty Lee's adorable.
She's great. I think that her kind of... I think that Ty Lee's really cool as a character because I think you know everything you need to know about Ty Lee in the scene she joins Azula's team.
When she's forced to join Azula?
Yes. but, like, she has... I think that Ty Lee, you know, she's like... She thinks about auras. She walks on her hands.
Right.
She would rather just have fun than fight, but she'll fight if she has to. And she will stand up to Azula, not necessarily to the very end, but most people wouldn't even make their opinions known to her.
Yeah. I think season 3 does a better job with Ty Lee and... oh my gosh, what's the other...
May. That's absolutely the case, right? Like, Ty Lee, Mei, Azula, Zuko, and all of their dynamic as a group get explored in season 3.
Yeah.
But as just, like, a kind of placeholder villain sidekick, Ty Lee and Mei, I think, do a really good job just in season 2.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they do. And they're also different from each other in, like, a really good way. You're like, you kind of, like, don't like Mei very much, and you kind of, like, love Ty Lee. You kind of get
fear Azula.
Yeah, exactly. She's crazy. She's crazy.
A character that like can inspire that like goosebumps level fear that Azula gives me. quite so easily as her, like, anywhere.
Well, it was funny. We were talking about her, and I was like, she's like if Dolores Umbridge was openly evil.
Maybe. I think that one of Dolores Umbridge's, like, biggest flaws that I think comes out, actually, whenever she does anything, is that she's kind of incompetent.
Sure.
Right? She builds these layers of, like, you know, pink bows, basically, in her mind, right?
Right.
That, like, cover the fact that ultimately she does nothing.
Well, I think that she also, like... Anyway, we don't even talk about Dolores Umbridge. My point was more that, like, I mean, even from, I mean, you just, Azula knows what she is.
Yes. Oh, totally.
And she accepts it, and it's very bad.
Unfortunately, the line in which she gives that understanding perfectly is not of this book.
It's not. It's in the book three, but.
Although,
yep.
I could spend an entire episode on the Isle of Ember, or Ember Island episode.
Is that the party episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get there. Okay. Final impressions. I'll let you go first. What was... You've watched... I assume you've now seen this twice.
Mm-hmm. At least.
At least. What are your final impressions and your rating?
This is the one that sows the seed of doubt in everyone's minds, right? Nothing is totally as it appears. The expectation that the hero always wins gets crushed a little more often than most. There's a feeling of being chased through most of this. Like, for some reason, when Zuko was the one pursuing Team Avatar, like, they were... just very far ahead in the chase, right? Basically, sometimes they'd catch up, but they'd push him back. And they more or less got to accomplish what they wanted. Like, this season, Azula really puts the pressure on Team Avatar, and they feel chased the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it really never feels like you're winning in this season.
No. This isn't a season about winning. This is definitely a season... about
taking your lumps. Doing,
well, about taking your lumps and doing the right thing, even though the reward for doing it isn't very apparent.
Let's be real. This is the empire of.
Oh, absolutely! Yes, totally. Like, you have to have a bit of a loss in order for a good three-part story to work out like that.
Right. I think my final impressions of this were just pure enjoyment. I mean, everybody loves a good middle arc. Everybody loves a good... I mean, you know, the Two Towers. You know, you've got the...
Very different middle arc, though.
That's true.
Two Towers, the loss, the sense of loss and, like, of being besieged...
Well, that's because they end the Fellowship. Yeah, I was going to say that because it happens at the end of the Fellowship, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still take your losses and... in the Two Towers, but my point is, like, you know, I love book three of Avatar, but book two just has, it's got angry Aang, it's got it's got angry Toffin, I mean, there's character fights fighting each other, there's Zuko trying to figure it out. I mean, this season is the best season of Avatar.
Yeah. You know what other, like, aging mentor character that, like, has very little screen time but does a whole lot that we'd never mentioned?
Who?
Bumi. Bumi's episode in Return to Omashu, where he just does nothing the whole time and that's his plan.
Yeah.
And it works, is pretty sick, actually.
Bumi's an interesting character. People like Bumi a lot more than I do, but I think that... Bumi does a good job of teaching Avatar a lesson in that, or teaching Aang a lesson in that episode.
Yeah.
And, like, allowing Aang to grow on his own in a lot of ways. So.
Yeah.
Overall, I would give this a 5. I know that I said I would change the filler, but whatever.
One episode of filler in a stellar season is much lower than your average.
Yeah. I would say that the Appa episode is also filler, but...
Oh, you're so wrong, though. Appa is forever changed by that experience.
I think that this season is a 5 out of 5. It is everything that you wanted in the sequel season. It sets up some pretty amazing potential character growth while also having amazing character growth of its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly if you, like, this is the make it or break it moment of liking this series, I think.
Yeah.
And it totally stands up in every way. Like, I can't even imagine my appreciation of this series without knowing how excellent the Bossing Say storyline is.
That being said, Wes, where can people find you if they want to talk to you about how much they love Ty Lee?
They can find me on Twitter at East_monotone.
You can find me at Spencer13H. You can find the show at Need2NerdPod. Let's go through the secret tunnel and say goodbye, West.
Secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel through the mountain. Also, my son was really, really scared of that bat wolf. Wolf bat.
That wolf bat scary. Is that when you decided to not watch the rest of the season with him?
I don't know. I think he got to Avatar Day, and that's when we stopped.
Sure.
So, thank you everybody so much for listening. Enjoy season 2, book 2, Emmy award winning season 2 of Avatar The Last Airbender. And we'll see you guys all next week. We'll be talking about season 3 real soon.